taking a close look at what's around us, there is some sort of a harmony. It is the harmony of overwhelming and collective murder.
This week in your parents' basement, we are transforming robots as we play what many consider to be the very first real-time strategy game, Herzog's Way by Technosoft.
Oh, I forgot to remind you how to pronounce that.
Well, let's start it.
Sorry, it's too late.
It's too late now. It's from 1990 for the Sega Genesis. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the co-host whose favorite Transformer is Bumblebee. It's Huell Hauser.
As High Commander, learn and remember the situations in which you cannot transform your forces.
Always important. And another regular co-host, the thing he loves most is Germans. It's Todd Brisket.
The only thing that is lacking is the dinosaurs here. It's like a curse weighing on an entire landscape, and whoever goes too deep into this has his share of this curse.
Four different accents.
Yeah. What is that?
Well, I mean, it came up in previous episodes that people do call me the master of speech and talking.
Speech and talking, I know.
A talking's master.
It was basically that guy in Inglourious Bastards. He speaks like four different languages in one scene.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, you can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypppodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YPP homepage, ypppodcast.com. This week's game is Herzog's Way. Released in 1990 by Technosoft, it is considered to be the very first real-time strategy game. In it, you play as a transforming robot, and you control some supply units that can recharge you as you hold positions and assault enemy bases. I played this one a little bit when we covered Dune 2, which Westwood Studios said was heavily influenced by this game. Todd, what did you think of this one?
Well, let me step back a second, and just to get the listeners at ease here. What is it called, Huell? What is this game called?
Herzog's Way.
Yes.
So the W is a V.
Zwei?
Zwei. It's two. The number two.
I would just call it Herzog, except that's a different game. So
yeah, that's number. That's Herzog Uno.
I'm just going to call this Herzog 2 then.
Sure. Or Z. Just call it Herzog Z.
You know what? This game was released in America. That's where it came out. So.
Okay. Well, so my experience with this game is minimal. Like I've only heard the name, and I've only heard it in correspondence supplementing whenever you're reading about Command and Conquer or Dune 2, like whenever people say, what is the first real-time strategy game? This one always pops up on the list. Mm-hmm. So I had never played it before this week. So this was a interesting experience. Interesting experience here.
Mm-hmm.
This little real-time strategy game. In this one, you do play as an all-powerful robot. And I would actually put this more not in the real-time strategy. This is the originator of the MOBA. This is the first MOBA game.
What is that again?
I think it stands for Multiplayer Online Battle Arena. But that's kind of a generic name for...
Give some examples, like...
Dota. Dota.
Dota.
Dota and Heroes of the Storm, League of Legends.
Yes, LOL.
LOL, yeah. So the ones where you control an all-powerful kind of a boss unit and you fight other boss units, but there's also minions that you hire that follow you around and do stuff for you and go take over bases.
Yeah, so, that kind of sounds like this, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, you know, I was reading some reviews other people wrote, and people really love this game. They have people have very fond memories of this one. I thought it was okay. I mean, for the time, it would have blown my mind. This would be an awesome 2-player game to play with your pals. But as you know, as a game itself, it's not that strong. Like there's no story, so to speak.
Well,
that I saw, unless you read the manual. Yeah, but there's nothing inside the game. Basically the goal of the game.
The manual story is probably just a reverse engineered 2-paragraph reason for this to be happening.
Right.
But keep going.
Yeah, so the goal of the game is you are either the red or the blue army, and you need to take over the other enemy's base.
Mm-hmm.
And to do this, you automatically acquire income over time, and you use that to construct troops in your home base. And you pick them up, and you can drop them off via your robot, which turns into a transport ship. A couple of different types of units. You got tanks and anti-air and infantrymen. And they go and take over little tiny bases on the map. And once you acquire a tiny base, it generates more income for your army. So you're going across the map, capturing these tiny bases, taking over other tiny bases that the enemy has, eventually getting to the other enemy's main base, and then doing an all-out assault on that one.
Mm-hmm.
That is the game, right? There's not much more to it than that.
Yeah, and as an early RTS, I guess you didn't need much more because this is all new at that point. And
yeah, this is innovative.
Unlike modern day RTSs, where you're kind of like a god looking over the battlefield and you're just a mouse cursor moving stuff around, like Teeb said earlier, you control like this much more powerful character that is either a walking robot or like a jet fighter, or you turn into the transport thing to bring other troops along. So you can fight alongside them and help like just destroy other units and stuff. Yeah. So I don't want to call it innovative because it's like the first version of this, but it's different from what we're used to today with RTSs.
It kind of reminded me of like the heroes in Warcraft 3. Mm-hmm. Like it's a more powerful unit, but it does also serve the function of like you said, like that's how you transport the troops and lay them down and that kind of stuff.
And if I'm not mistaken, the original MOBA, I think, was Dota, which was a reskin of Warcraft 3.
Is that correct? Because Warcraft 3, it in the game, like Steve said, you have hero units which are stronger, and somebody made a mod to that to make it where you only play as the hero instead of being the all-powerful builder. You play only as a hero.
Okay. Yeah, and that launched this new genre of games.
Yeah.
A multi-billion, trillion-dollar industry.
Mm-hmm. Especially with, like, pro leagues and all that crap.
Yeah.
Full of their racist players.
You're all speaking Greek to me. I've never played a MOBA or Dota or any of that stuff.
I've never played them. I'm just vaguely familiar with them.
Yeah, I love them in concept. Like that sounds amazing. You play as a hero and you go and use your you go along with your army and take out towers and you're destroying enemy troops under you.
If everyone's a hero, then isn't everyone just the same?
So every player is a hero, which is where the issue comes in, is that those kinds of games are like this one, where it's just pure PvP, and they call most of the interactions you have with other people where they're actually talking to you, they call it toxic, because they're just insulting you for doing something wrong.
Yeah, and that's why I want to avoid this at all costs. I have no reason to play these.
I would say it would be fun if you played with some pals and you're palling around on the same team and working together. But just playing with randos on the internet, it's not fun for me.
No. Speaking of how this game might show its age a bit, there's not really like a campaign mode for this, is it? Is there? You're just playing on like random maps against the computer.
Yeah, there's no campaign. Right.
Right. What year is this? I should have paid attention.
89?
Oh, wow. 90. This is 90.
Yeah. 90 so. In America, 89 in Japan. Hmm. So.
Yeah. I mean, this is breaking ground. It's breaking new ground.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just found – so I can admire what it spawned, but I just found this pretty clunky to play.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
As, yeah, as far as actually playing it, it's overly complicated and clunky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it reminded me of Dune 2. I think I had similar complaints, but this is worse. Like,
Dune 2, just because it's it is very clunky. Like, you have to click on individual units and command them one by one. This one, I think for a console strategy game, it's a good concept to have, like, you being a player character and you are actually moving around instead of moving a mouse around with the D-pad.
That definitely helps as a console game for sure.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, I just didn't have much patience for it, especially, like, so I played it myself for about 20 minutes and I wasn't really that successful. the most annoying thing is when your troops get attacked, like, off screen, there's just like this high pitched, like, alarm kind of sound that just goes off constantly, which is not so much fun. And then, like, I just kept getting blown up, like, the second I would try to go beat up the other player.
You got
to
watch your gas meter, man. It runs out fast. Yeah, you have to early game. You have to stay close to your base and capture bases that are close to you, so you can get refueling stations further out.
Yeah, that was the most frustrating part to me. Where no other game is as gas based except for, like, Ghostbusters, like like
the best, like, mechanic.
Yeah, like this game and Ghostbusters both have a
gasoline heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Both Bob Hansen specials. Since
does he like this one?
Probably. He liked Dune too. So I feel like he would be into this one too, just because there's a big gas mechanic in it. He was big into Ghostbusters more noticeably.
Yeah, he's all about that gas.
Famously.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters apologist.
Yes. Ghostbusters apologist.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, if you transform into the robot, you don't use up energy. So that's when you can just shoot around and kill other enemies. So that was that's Huel's hot tip of the day.
Running out of gas, turn into a robot.
Yep. But what I noticed is you have four bars that determine different things. So what we're talking about is the gas is energy, which is represented by the E bar. Mm-hmm. What do you think the B bar represents? If E is energy, what is B?
Bombs.
Bombos.
No, it's strength. B bar represents your strength. How about G? What would you guess that one is?
Gas, maybe?
Oh, no. It's ammo.
Oh.
And I'll save you the torture. D is for stamina.
So a lot of those sound the same.
I found this reading the manual, just like figuring out the screen layout and the controls. That makes no sense, unless this is just like completely taken from the German version.
Yeah, and everything in here does have German names, so it might be like the German
yeah, the
translation.
On-screen labels just stayed the same.
Or also, unless they use the Japanese word for whatever it
is. Possibly. But yeah, three of those sound exactly the same. Energy, strength, and stamina.
Yeah.
But energy is definitely your, like, fuel, quote unquote, like while you're zooming around as a jet, that goes down automatically. But I think strength is, sorry, here you go. Strength decreases as troops and weapons are hit by enemy fire. If this bar reaches zero, that commander's base camp is destroyed.
Mm.
And then stamina, when that reaches zero, your fighting forces are completely destroyed. So in the end, it's the same thing. Just don't lose don't lose either one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, like I said, it's overly complex. Just like, because the way you build units, you can only build them one by one. And you pick the ones you want. They're either like tanks or bike guys or standard foot troops or whatever. And then you pick like an action for, I think, all of your troops. And that costs money. Yeah. Just like changing the action that everyone does costs money, which is weird. So I don't know if it's the action for just that unit or just for everyone. I could not figure that out.
I also could not figure that out. Yeah. And this is a game.
Yeah, the game where that you have to look up the symbol for.
It's a look. Yeah, you have to. I couldn't. I played it first without reading the manual, and I could not do anything. Like I was constructing troops.
There's no way to know what the hell to do if you don't read the manual.
Yeah, I was constructing troops, and it's like, okay, your troop's ready, and I was like, okay, where is he?
Where do I put him? Yeah, because you're used to building a troop in like Warcraft or Starcraft, and they just walk right out of their barracks; they're ready to go.
Yeah.
But you have to transform into your transport guy, pick him up, and then plop him down somewhere.
Right. So I read that far into the manual, and I did that, and I was like, okay, I got it. I picked up my guy, set him down, and then he was just standing there. So like, yeah. What is going on now?
So he just stands there doing nothing.
And so then I read the manual more, and there's all these symbols for different things they can do. You can command them to, by default, you can command them to just stay where they are and shoot. The next one is order your army to attack within a limited area centering upon its original location. You can order your army to destroy the enemy and then move to the closest base. You can go ahead.
I said right.
Yeah. Then you can order your army to search from a fixed position. Upon discovering the enemy, it will move in for the attack. After destroying the enemy or losing sight of it, your army will turn to its original position. And you can, another one is order your army to begin moving towards the nearest neutral or enemy base for a takeover. And its second priority is to attack the enemy. And then the last one, or not the last one, first to the last one, order your army to advance on the enemy's base camp for the final attack. I guess at the very end, I never got this far. I could not beat the enemy Rubit. I could not.
Definitely,
he's too tough.
Definitely not.
Yeah, Todd, I also could not beat this at all, and it was especially infuriating because I made the mistake of going on YouTube, and there's a guy who like beats a map in like 7 or 8 minutes. He's just tooling around the entire thing, and it looks so easy,
so like, simple. Oh.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I could not do that at all. Like he seamlessly drops his troops down and switches from the like the fighter carrier pilot thing to the transformer robot, which is more like you switch to the transformer robot when you're going to duke it out with the other enemy because he's got more power. And I struggled with all of that. So
the drop opportunity there. I think I might have seen the same video or a similar one because I was so embarrassed after watching it. Because I was just fumbling around, like looking up symbols, like what does this guy do? Where do I put him? I couldn't even figure out how to take over a base. Like that's why I started watching the video. I'm like, I put my infantry guy down. He walked in, and then it never turned my red color. And I'm like, well, what do I do now? So I guess you have to get four units into the
four
into
units.
The
base? Yep.
Yeah. So I didn't notice there was like those red dots on the side that indicated how many were in there. I was like, I was so lost. I need my handheld. Give me some tool tips. Yeah. Give me something.
There's a huge learning curve on this game.
I can't even right click. What do I do now?
Yeah. no tutorial in this one, and it's arguably a game that you really need one for. So
yeah, even the manual doesn't really explain things that well. Because it doesn't say how to take over a base.
There's like 8 different units in this game, correct? Does it explain the difference between them?
It's just that like some are stronger than the others.
that's very helpful.
Yeah, there's 8 different kinds, so it doesn't say
lists
like,
all their it lists all their stats.
Well, it says like they can go on land or sea or whatever, but I mean, lasting power, I don't know what that means. What is a sphere of activity? The anti-aircraft tank has 2 spheres of activity. The regular tank has 5. Like, what? That means nothing to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't give, like, a description of what you might use them for. It just lists numbers. So, no, it's not very useful. Well, I mean, I guess they tried their best.
They're doing their best with the resources that they have.
The resources they have. Exactly. I mean, it goes into a lot more detail about the things you transform into.
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing about what you actually use.
Yeah.
And build. The things you have to spend money on. Are a complete mystery.
Yeah. Well, after playing this one for a little bit, I got the jonesing for StarCraft, so I played like mm-hmm. 2 rounds of that instead. Nice.
That's good prep. That's good prep for this one.
Yeah, because I was like, you know what? I'm having such a frustrating time with this. I just want to make some Terran units. And I want to blow up some Zerg. So I went to one of the early maps. Just killed them Zergs.
Let me kill some stuff.
Yeah,
gotta satisfy that urge.
Yeah, I was like, let me just make some bunkers and throw some troops in there and just kill them over and over again.
Give me a bunker. I need buildings that can fly. That's what I'm joking.
I don't know. It sounds like we're on the same page with this one. It may have been impressive at the time, but it's a bit of a tough hang now. Just to touch on where it is now, although Technosoft created this genre in a way, they never really went back to it after this effort. They were quickly eclipsed by efforts like Dune 2, Warcraft, Command & Conquer, and then eventually StarCraft. Technosoft is actually known more for shmups. They created the Thunder Force series, and there's 5 or 6 other shoot-em-up games that they released. The company released its first game in 1982, but it was most active from 1988 to 1999, releasing a game or two every year. After that point, though, they became an internal research department for parent corporation, the 21 Company. In September 2016, Sega, which published most of Technosoft's games, scooped up all that hot IP for Thunder Force and Herzog 2. There are rumors they're going to re-release titles, but no release dates have been announced yet. So...
Yeah, good times. Yeah. There's a lot of people online saying, "Hey, when's that remake coming out for this game or the Herzog, Dry or whatever it's going to be called?
Dry.
Yeah. I'm not a German expert.
Oh,
as much as Huel.
You're just an expert in words and talking in general.
Yeah, I mean that doesn't mean expert in every language ever.
I know. You just. You're a jack of all talking.
He's a lingual expert. He's not a vocabulary expert.
There it is. That's the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But those games you mentioned, Command & Conquer and Warcraft, those companies, Blizzard and Westwood Studios and those folks, they've said in interviews that this game did directly influence them. So there is that connection there.
I don't see how it couldn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Although, looking at the review scores here, guess what this game got from EGM?
In 1990. What is it, out of 10?
Out of 10.
8.5.
You know what? I'm going to say they didn't understand it. They got a 5.
4.25.
Ooh, T wins.
So this game is like, it's no ninja spirit, is what EGM is saying.
Oh, no.
I agree with EGM.
I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree, too. Like,
it is no Ninja Spirit.
Yeah, Ninja Spirit, shockingly, most bestest game for your parents' basement. But, yeah, this one, as I said, it's a bit of a tough hang, and it did not sell well for the time. I could not find sales figures for this, but it's mentioned as a cult classic kind of game. So that normally means did not sell.
Yeah. Means there was 12 copies.
Yep. So, yeah. We got to get to our regular features here. Huel, I think you mentioned you were a little disappointed with the manual.
Disappointed and confused, because I feel like they could have explained things a little more. But if you want a little recap of the story here, basically this one empire just takes over the world and has a lust for power and enslaves everyone. And their dictator is Herzog Eitz, the Supreme Commander One. And one of his generals, Ludwig, wants to free everybody, so he gathers together this force, which is, I guess, you, and then you build it up to finally take down Herzog Eitz and become Herzog Zwei, the second Supreme Commander. So that's your goal, is to just become another dictator, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a little story in the beginning. It's got a lot of pictures, but they're just direct screenshots of the game. So, I mean, that's helpful for explaining, but it's not very fun. Most RTSs have kind of uninspired manuals because there's usually so much to explain. And that's kind of what we're at here. So it has a few tips at the end. It gives you explanations of the different maps and stuff. But I got to go... Sorry to say again, but 2.5 out of 5 Mario 2s. It's right down the middle. Yeah.
It's respectable. I mean, there's a lot of meat to pack into this one.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, 2.5, like, it gets the job done. It tells you what it needs to. But I feel like there's still a little bit it could have explained better. But, yeah, it's kind of long, too, but that's expected, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. 2.5.
It's okay. How
about that? Well, let's go right along to our other regular feature then. Todd, how many DuckTales for Herzog 2?
Ooh, you know, the DuckTales scale factors in 2 primary factors.
Does it?
Those factors being nostalgia.
You almost forgot.
And replayability. Nostalgia, I don't have any nostalgia for this one because I've never played it before. I've only read the name in conjunction with other games, so no nostalgia at all. Replayability, it's, I guess, if you, you know, I'm never going to play this game again. I'll be honest with the listeners, never going to play this one again. I know people love this one because it is a cult classic, but it doesn't scratch my itch. So replayability is not really there. That all being said and done, I'll give Herzog Zwei a score of 0.13.
Ooh.
DuckTales.
Ooh. Yeah, that was off. Not quite heel.
I mean, I still went low. I went 0.24. But,
yes.
Yeah. I should have factored in the two main factors a little better.
Yeah. I mean, nostalgia's coming in. Hey, coming in at a 0.01 because I've just read the name.
What did you say, 0.114?
No, 0.13.
Oh, my apologies.
Okay. Well, then. Just one more thing from my end. So price charting has the loose cart price for this one is $35. Box and manual, $52. So that's
pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty
good. That is,
I advise anyone not to pay $52 for this.
Too much.
Yes.
You know, we're going to have some guy that's going to be Googling, has some Google alert set up for Herzog Zwei because it's his favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
And he's going to listen to this and just hate our show because we're not enjoying this game as much as he does.
Or he'll be, he has a Google alert in case it's like for sale because it's so rare. And then he'll find this stupid podcast.
It's like, these guys made a show about my favorite game. I'm sure, it's such a niche game. I'm sure they only made a show because they like it.
Yeah, who else would play it?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I was just looking, I was trying to find if it's been re-released or something, so I put like, how to play now, Herzog 2. And like the third result is, how the hell do you play this game? And it's just someone complaining about how they played Dune and some other RTSs, and they don't know how to play this one. So I think that piggybacks onto what you were just saying.
Yeah. You're asking how to play it as in where to play it, and they're asking how to play it as in what am I doing?
Yeah. I don't think this one has been re-released anywhere. That would make sense because Sega just acquired it in 2016, so they haven't had a chance to shovel it onto their million game collections they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, Todd, I understand that you had another segment that you wanted to do this week.
Yeah. Hey, this is a segment for that guy that found our show because he loves Herzog's Zweig.
Oh, yeah.
We're not too keen on it, but I do have a couple reasons here why Herzog's Zweig on the Sega Genesis is the most best game of all time. So two of them today. This first one is titled Herzog, Please Come to Dreamcast, and it's by Daniel Rockwood, and he wrote this one August 11th, 2001.
Oh, my.
Just 1 month before that fateful day.
Oh, sure. August 11th. Oh, my.
Exactly. I knew exactly where he was going with that, Huel. You.
I'm sleeping on it. Yeah, sorry. Second. I forgot. I said I never would.
Yeah, never forget.
It happened.
He writes, it's the best two-player war game. What happens is that you start off earning money as time goes on. You buy tanks, missiles, boats, infantry, and ISBM missiles. You can either protect your base or attack your opponent's base. You call the shots. Herzog is fun field. 5 stars.
Okay.
Oh.
Wonder how he felt about war 30 days later.
Oh.
All right, this next one is titled I Still Have This Game From When I Was a Kid, and it's written by Derek in 2015.
Oh, okay.
This was my favorite game on my
short
old
years. Like,
yeah. This is my favorite game on my old Sega Genesis. It's total hours of strategic fun, whether with the AI or multiplayer. Sometimes I like to mess with the AI player and keep defending a mini base with like 50 tanks and missiles. However, there's one pet peeve I've had with this game, and that's when the AI begins doing more damage to you and your troops than you can do. How the hell do my heavy tanks take 2 shots to kill one soldier, one beefy soldier, while the AI's tank does it in 1 shot? And the damage done to my jet is also increased, especially by enemy missiles. Always found that unfair, but I managed to still win. 5 stars.
Hmm. They seem to have a lot of complaints for a 5-star game.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
He's basically saying he likes to troll the computer, and the computer just has enough of it and starts
the computer trolls
him
back, yeah. Yeah, that's what you think, huh?
Good times.
Well, that's what I heard.
Well, it's time to move right along to the email portion of the show.
Oh, I thought you usually asked us if we had more stuff to say, because I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to move us along because before the show, well, you mentioned this should be a short one, which is always the curse of the long show.
It hasn't been that long.
I know, but I was consciously thinking of it this time. So
he's trying to keep the flow moving, keeping it going.
Yeah.
Huel, now that we've built this up, I'm sure whatever you have to say is going to be awesome. Please tell us.
Well, as we found out, this game has a lot of German in it, and yes. I found some fun translations of things in the game.
Ooh.
So as we found out, Zwei means two. And in the story, in the manual, they call it Supreme Commander 2, but Herzog actually translates into Duke So Duke 2 is the title of this game. Ooh. You are the Duke of the world, apparently. And all the different maps have German names, the maps you pick out for your little battle there. Mm-hmm. So the Abgrund in the manual is called the Canyon, but it actually translates into Abyss, which I feel like would have been a better name.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Abyss. Abyss, better wrestler than Canyon, too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, actually, Canyon wasn't that great.
Yeah.
he was charismatic.
Yeah, but by default.
Yeah.
He's better.
Yeah, I would say so. The lock, which in the manual says is the cave, lock actually means hole, which I guess is a cave, technically.
Isn't it spelled L-O-C-H, too?
Yeah, L-O-C-H,
like
lock.
Lake in...
Like, yeah.
Scottish, Gaelic. I guess, is that language?
Gaelic.
Gaelic, yeah.
But then the translation for cave is hole. H-O-H-L-E. So that's sort of confusing.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it got a little cross-wired there, where they just translated hole into lock, but cave is hole. So that's fun. And then the Waldunk, which is the jungle. The jungle in the manual translates to grove, which sounds less threatening, so I guess they called it the jungle instead.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. And all the other ones are just the name that they are. So those were the weird ones.
Oh.
And if you're wondering, jungle in German is Dschungel. Which is D-S-C-H-U-N-G-E-L.
So wait, that's D-S-C-H?
Yeah, Dschungel.
It seems like too many consonants that aren't.
That's like how you spell out the letter J sound.
Yeah. It's like if you make those J's. Because J in German is pronounced like a Y. So they have to make a J sound using four other letters. That's how they get around that one.
Those crazy Germans.
No wonder they went nuts.
Yeah. What was that whole World War II thing there? That they did.
What was that all about?
Those kooky guys.
Those wacky Germans. Trying to make J's out of four letters. It's only a matter of time. Okay, that's what I had. So glad I pulled the e-brake on that one.
Well, Todd, was there anything else you had to share about this one?
No.
Well, on that note, let's move right along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Oh, you know what? I did.
Ooh.
And uh-oh. I don't know who wrote this one. It's just in my email inbox. With the email address is kind of scrambled looking, so it doesn't really indicate who it was. So they write, "Do you know this game, late 80s to early 90s? It is like you are flying through space at a fast speed in one direction. Then you fire at enemies that show up. It can be played on PC. It's just a bunch of lines, or remember, green only." And they didn't leave a name, so.
Oh, so that's it?
A scrambled email address?
Yeah, well, it's just a bunch of random letters and numbers.
Oh, okay.
At gmail.com.
Got it.
It's probably Julian Assange.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That other guy. Snowden? Edward Snowden.
Eddie Snowden?
Eddie Snows.
Oh,
it sounds like asteroids, maybe.
Oh, that's actually a good guess.
Yeah,
green lines, and you're zooming through space, but you're not really zooming through space. Like, you can move around, but it sounds like an on rails shooter or something.
Yeah. He did say like late '80s, early '90s, but right. You know, he could just be confused. Like Asteroids came out in like the early 70s, I want to say, or late 70s.
That's probably true.
Yeah, yeah, and he could have played it then. Yeah,
it had staying power.
Yeah.
I just think this guy's, he's high. He's on his, he's on weed, man. All he remembers is green. He's all about that tree.
Oh, man, it's all about the tree.
All it has all to he be saw was Kush.
All them dank tweeps.
All that, get that ganja.
Smoke. All that spleef smoke. Clouding his brain up.
Well, I'm glad we really helped him. It's probably,
yeah, I think we did.
It sounds like Asteroids. I mean, that's
either Asteroids or you were on drugs.
Yeah.
Or although you're on drugs playing Asteroids.
Asteroids wasn't really a PC game either. Like, I guess if you played it in the 90s, then yeah, it probably was.
Yeah, there's ports in the late 80s.
Yeah, I actually, yeah, when I was a kid, I had just an Asteroids port. Just like straight up program running around. An app.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a late 80s, early 90s app.
Exactly. Yeah.
You went to the app store, aka Best Buy or Circuit City. Went to the app store.
I probably just downloaded it somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, was Best Buy even around back then?
No, I changed it to Circuit City.
You could have went to CompUSA or
CompUSA. Yeah.
Oh boy. Or Sears.
Sears. Maybe it was a Kenner laptop. You were playing that on or something.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, that's probably a gift from Grandma Huell.
There you go.
Well, Huell, did you receive any mails this week?
I did get an email. So it says, "Dear, whoa, hey.
Whoa.
Someone's furious about this email.
Ah, yeah, sorry.
It says, "Dear YPB, what's your favorite Pokemon? Signed, Arch Cashman."
Oh. Arch Cashman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. There we go.
Hmm.
Well, we can answer what's your favorite Pokemon and what's your favorite Chin Pokemon.
Here's my favorite. Here's my favorite. And it's also a character from another game.
Uh-oh.
Chauncey.
Oh, Chauncey.
Chauncey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that big pink thing that's like a nurse that's always carrying eggs around.
Exactly.
Chauncey.
You're into the helpful mother type. That's what you're looking for.
Chauncey? That doesn't sound like Chauncey.
Steve, did you have an answer?
Well, my favorite Chin Pokemon, of course, is Shu.
Oh, yeah. That's a leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah. But I forgot that you can actually find, like, all of them in South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, those are the collectibles in that game. Yeah.
Good collectible.
Yeah. Poodlesaurus Rex, Beetlebot, Munkay.
One of them is like a gerbil with a gun, just like a laser.
Penguin.
Yep,
Stigmata, yep. Fat Dactyl.
Stigmata.
Yeah, Brocori.
Oh my god.
Lamtron, Furry Cat, Gophermon. Maybe it's Gophermon. No, Gophermon looks like he's a ninja of some sort. No, I'm not. Ferrosnarf. Oh no, it's Ferrosnarf. Never mind. Totally different. A counterfish.
Yeah, get it right, man.
Yeah, Gerbitoad. As far as my Pokemon, I don't know. I kind of like Jigglypuff, but just from Smash Brothers.
It's not a bad choice.
When it comes to the actual game itself, like I just always used Bulbasaur.
Yeah, Bulbasaur is the easiest in the beginning of the starter Mons.
Yeah. I always felt like people use Charizard and Squirtle more. So I was like,
you got to go underground. Whenever I'm playing Pokemon, the real Pokemon, I always pick the underground one, the one that people don't pick.
You're like, oh, I'm not going to go watch Avengers. I'm going to check out this cool indie movie instead.
Yeah, I'm going to watch I'm going to watch the DC straight to video cartoons. Those are the ones that are really good.
Yeah,
you can go. Man, you can go watch Avengers.
Oh, and quality over being a sheeple. Like the masses, the masses and their Charizards. Mm-hmm.
Star Wars is good, but have you seen Clone Wars, the animated series? Now that's a good flick. Well,
it sure is.
Did you share your favorite, Todd?
Yeah.
Chauncey. Or,
did we all go?
I'll just pick Snorlax.
Yeah, he's like a lazier Wario.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I have a type.
You just
that or just... or Cloyster. If you want to look up that one, figure out why.
I just looked up Snorlax, and it for ability, one is immunity, and the other is listed as thick fat.
Huh.
Which so
don't know why I
apparently. Yeah, that
takes years of training to get that one.
So much. And sleeping. It's its other power.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, your body wants to wake up at a certain point. You have to force yourself to sleep more.
I know it's like a meme that the new Pokemon are just like dumb, like all the ones after the original 150. But
yeah,
I actually just opened up Pokemon Go for probably the first time in like 2 months. And I noticed I captured one. It's called Pineco, and it's just like a pine cone with eyes. So that might be my new favorite, is Pineco. So look that one up, kids.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it's weird. He doesn't even look that much. He doesn't even look that much like a pine cone. He looks like a.
Yeah.
He looks more like a grenade.
Ooh, maybe he blows up.
Like, I don't know. I'm looking at
like
him right now.
Like a pineapple grenade?
Yeah.
Or like a pine cone, maybe.
Pine cones are like brown.
I'm not really hung up on the color. It's got eyes. I mean, that's more troublesome.
Hmm. Yeah,
you should make your own. You should make a hyper-realistic Pokemon spinoff.
Oh, guess what I found?
Oh no!
A hypersexualized pike.
Oh no! That's always the problem of doing Google Images.
Is that some deviant art?
They'll do anything. Oh, it's Pinterest. Sorry. Anything. There's a rule. There's a rule number for that one, I'm sure.
Oh, I see. I just looked, and I didn't realize it was going to be like a girl. That looked like a pine
human,
cone.
Yeah, it's like a almost like a human cosplay.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like a Crash Bandicoot thing.
Pine cone with F cups.
Just a pine cone with
yeah. Pine cone with boobs and cut off jean shorts.
God. Yeah.
Crash Bandies.
Some platform heel super glued to the bottom of it.
Well, Pineco, you don't even have legs. Why do you need heels? That's why I need the heels. Come on.
Show off them gams.
Well,
we should move along.
Yeah, on that note. Oh, new news. Just one item. Just one quick item this week. Our old bugaboo, Shaq Fu, Legend Reborn. Still no release date. It's supposed to be spring, which is, it's technically spring now. So
yep, it certainly is.
Spring has sprung.
If you're a pessimist, it's already late. But if you're an optimist, they have until the end of spring to release it.
Yeah, exactly.
But the achievement list was released.
Oh, God.
And there are some good ones on here. There's one called Choked the Chicken, which...
Okay.
Is apparently if you defeat somebody named Babyface, you get that. apparently, right. A mechanic of this game is collecting Icy Hots. You get,
oh my god,
you get achievements for collecting icy hots 5, 10, and 50.
Are there any gold bond collectibles?
I don't think so.
Just because Shaq is a spokesman for Icy Hot.
Yeah,
is he a spokesman for Gold Bond too?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Ah.
Oh no, they probably didn't pay to get in there. Then there's one called Plundered the Booty, which is also for just beating a boss. Oh, and also so there's multiple achievements, 500 little pricks, which is for shooting 500 spines in Shactus mode. So that makes me think Shaq must turn into a cactus at some point.
I'm very excited for Shactus mode.
He's yes. No, guys, he turns into a pine cone. Shoots pine needles.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
Maybe it's like Mario Odyssey, where you can throw like his basketball shorts onto things and become them.
There's also apparently you attack by doing Shaq waves, and there's a diesel mode. There's melee weapons. There's one post beatdown refreshments where you get an achievement for walking through a biker bar, which this just sounds like a very confusing game just from the achievement list. So
it sounds amazing.
Yeah. Good times. It's due out any day now.
Well, that achievement list is a good sign. It means that they're getting that far enough to actually think about, you know, achievements to go along with the story. So
yeah,
they probably did just now think of them. So yeah.
Well, if it's, I think once you get to the achievement list stage, it means that the game is actually with Sony and Microsoft, and it's getting like through that vetting process. So, you know, fingers soon crossed. The world will have. Yeah. We can only pray, really.
Thoughts and prayers.
T's and P's. Well, Todd, did you receive any asks this week? Anyone looking for help?
Ooh, yes. Somebody needs our help this week. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. So send in all your asks to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep it anonymous unless otherwise requested. This one's from Anonymous.
Oh.
And they write, love her, but can't stop cheating on her.
Oh boy.
I know people are going to think I'm a bad person, but I do really care for my GF and love her. But being with one girl is just impossible for a man. It goes against our natural animal instincts. She's a loving, caring girlfriend, and I know maybe I don't deserve her, but that's why I'm here asking for help or advice. I don't know what to do or how to stop.
It sounds like you don't need a girlfriend, you need a harem. So I think that's what you approach her, be like, hey, I know you like me. Do you like me enough to share? Then see how it goes.
Man, you just gotta find it.
It ain't cheating if you're not exclusive.
It kind of depends on the living situation, is what I'm thinking. Is she going to work and paying the bills for him? Then he really needs to concentrate on one girl. If he's doing the work and paying the bills, then hey, she has to deal with it.
Dims the brakes.
Now in your household though, Todd, you pay the bills, so how have you posed that to Mrs. Todd yet?
Yeah. No, video games are my mistress.
Princess Peach is your side gal.
You have a couple girlfriends named Steve and Huel.
I got some I got some pine cone fan artwork to print out and hang on my wall.
Yes, deviant art bookmarked.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's her face? Candy Bandicoot? Is that her name?
Oh, Candy.
Tanya.
Close enough. Yeah, see, you knew. You knew right away.
Oh, man. Candy Bandicoot.
I feel like
I think Candy Kong is what you might be thinking of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that's the Lady Kong.
Another disturbing, different animal right. with human features.
Short shorts and a tank top.
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing about those hyper-sexualized anthropomorphic animals is they all, I mean, even though they're females, they all just have two gigantic bosoms.
Right.
Instead of like the eight that they would have if they were actually an animal.
That's your problem.
Yeah.
I need more.
Oh my God.
We have fun.
We do.
Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we sign off?
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't know that the last cow in the village was slaughtered to honor us.
Huel, anything else you wanted to say before we sign off?
Some more life advice that I found in the manual. You'll only be able to buy what you can afford.
Oh.
Hmm.
Good advice for life as well.
That's what I said.
Yeah. So here's a little snifferoo from next week's game, which is definitely the best clown-based racing game out there.